Today on Older and Wiser.
Imagine a world with no cash. A new survey shows lots of us would gladly give it up.
Are you always losing stuff? Today we'll reveal the things Americans misplace the most.
Plus, we've got the world's most popular car colors. We'll tell you which foreign accents American men and women find the sexiest.
And fast food customers buying burgers for their dogs. You're listening to Older and Wiser.
Hi, folks. I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles, along with my good friend, Susan Sikora, up in the San Francisco suburbs. And as always, we've got some odd and interesting public opinion surveys for you this week. And our first survey is about losing stuff, which Susan never does because she's so organized.
You know what? I lose a lot less now that I have a lot less. I recently moved from a larger space to a smaller space, much smaller space, like less than half, okay?
Yeah.
There are less things to lose.
Well, there was one thing you lost when you moved to your new place.
Yes.
You lost the headset for this podcast.
Right,
which we had to get you another headset. Mm-hmm. Good news is millennials are twice as likely to misplace their possessions as baby boomers. Would you believe that?
Yes, I would. And it doesn't surprise me again because it's all this multitasking. They are practically in the crib using the phone, the iPhone, there's a computer across the room perhaps.
Oh, I see what you mean.
They're not focusing on any one thing. So your stuff gets lost in all of next thing you know, you can't find something.
As we get older, I just thought we'd be more befuddled. We tend to lose things more, but I guess you're right.
Yes.
According to this, the top misplaced item is the TV remote. 71% of us say we lose our remote at least once a month. How about you?
Yeah, well, I do, but generally I find it very quickly because it's usually right down between the back cushion and the seat cushion of the couch.
Now, you've got cable, right?
Yes, I do.
Do you have to run your TV from one remote and your cable controller from another?
Oh, well, I've got one remote for the cable box and one remote for the television.
That's what I'm saying.
So if that's the case, yes, there are two things.
So
I have actually rubber band them together.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. Now you're solving some of the problems of losing things. You've come up with your own little fix, which is fantastic. I have a smart watch. And on my watch, there's a little button you can push that will make your phone ring. So I can, if I've lost my phone in the house somewhere, all I have to do is push a button and I'll hear my phone ringing in the bedroom or wherever.
Well, you know, did you ever hear of the clapper?
Yeah, the ultimate
remote.
Remember
that sweet little lady in bed? She's trying to get the light off and she's like, that's it. And I'm thinking, there's more things that need clappers in life. And I think this is just pointing up what I'm saying.
You know, one of the things they were curious about in this survey is whether men are more likely to lose things than women. I'm not sure.
Oh, yes.
Well, it does seem logical. One of the things they did determine was that men are more willing to blame the loss on their spouse.
Married men start a lot of sentences with, honey, where did you put my...
Ah, I hear you. Among the other items that people lose a lot, 28% lose their car keys.
Well, sure. There's an easy thing for that. Have something as you come in the door.
Hang them on the hook.
That's right. A hook, a container, something where you put the keys always, and you just get in that habit. It takes a while. And once you establish the habit, you'll know where the keys are.
Of course, I do say if someone breaks into your house, you've shown them where the keys are. That's the only thing.
Not necessarily. I don't have to tell them where I put them.
Oh, well, that's true. Good point.
You don't have to hang them on the door.
No. The other thing people lose are their glasses. 27% lose their glasses.
I do that, and I do that because I went out and bought a whole bunch of over-the-counter readers thinking, this way I won't lose anything. And now my head says, well, because you've got about 28 pairs all over the house, what's the difference? You don't have to put it all in one place.
24% lose their shoes. I seldom lose my shoes.
Shoes. Now, I don't get that one. There's a left, there's a right. What's the problem?
I guess
here?
You take them off in front of the TV while you're watching or something and forget that they're under the couch. 20% lose their wallets and their purses. I've lost my wallet.
Purses you could misplace. You maybe put it one place and not another. Wallet, I can see where that might get lost.
People do go back and track where they were, and they first look in their purse or their bag. 21% look there first, followed by the couch, 18%.
That's where my remote is.
Yeah. And followed by previous day's clothing, the pockets of previous day's clothing.
Uh-huh.
And then around their beds.
Yeah. So. I also look in the car because sometimes something can fall out of a pocket and between the seats, you know, if it falls down and underneath.
All right, let's move on to our next survey, which reveals which accents men and women think are the sexiest. This was done by a company called MissTravel.com, which I guess is a service that hooks up travelers for love. I feel like there's a whole story in that right there. Well, I would have thought, just off the top of my head, I would have thought people would say a Swedish accent or a French accent would be the most popular.
I'd go for French.
French. French or Italian, maybe?
Yeah, Italian. I'm surprised Italian wasn't.
Well, we think of French, France and Italy as the romantic European countries. And so, but that wasn't it. This survey asked 1,164 American men. They were asked what accents they find the hottest, and the number one accent that men seem to like is Israeli. Who guessed?
That was a little surprising.
Wouldn't have guessed. Yeah. Number two, Colombian. Now I wonder if that has anything to do with Sofia Vergara.
Maybe.
You know, she's Colombian.
Yeah,
and she's sexy, so you kind of put the two together.
You have to think of somebody of that nationality to imagine or hear in your mind what the accent is,
there
probably,
you
unless you're around people from that area all the time who have that accent.
Exactly, see. Number three, Australian. I don't know. Number four, French. Finally, we get around to France.
Yeah.
And number five, Southern?
You know, a woman with a Southern accent might be very appealing to somebody
to
else from the North or where have you.
Different the other way around.
I don't know if she's as appealing to Southern men, just talking about the accent, as she is to, let's say, Northern men or you know, men from another area. But I don't know that Southern accents on men would be that appealing to women. I wouldn't find it particularly appealing. I don't say it's a turnoff, but
according to this survey, they asked 1,423 U.S. women what they thought. What kind of accent gets you hot and bothered? The number one accent is British.
I'm not surprised at that.
Sort of a 007-y kind of
stuff.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, James Bondish kind of thing, you know.
Aren't you kind of surprised, though, that we don't think of the British as lusty lovers? You know, we don't think of
British tend to think of as very proper.
Yes, proper.
Very proper, you know, because you think of the Queen.
Exactly. The number two accent women like the best is Scottish. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Followed by Spanish. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get
Spanish,
that.
Yeah, I'm surprised Spanish isn't above Scottish, but go ahead.
Yeah. At number four, Australian again.
There we are.
And then followed number five, Southern again.
Yeah.
So, some women do like that Southern accent.
I don't know. You know, this to me is a little bit superficial in the sense that, you know, it's that first impression thing. But after that, then you have to have a conversation. And quite honestly, if somebody's got an accent, I don't care from where it begins. If you can't understand them and you really have to work very hard at listening in order to get the conversation, you're exhausted and you're probably not going to be a second encounter.
You do want to be able to understand what they're
but
saying to you.
But then we're not looking for maybe a long-term relationship, because remember the survey was done by MissTravel.com, a service that hooks up travelers looking for love.
All right, let's move on. Our next survey says half of us are ready to have a cash-free society.
I think I have a cash-free life already.
You mean money-free. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
The survey was done by Payments Canada. So this is really a Canadian survey, but we probably have some of the same ideas as the Canadians. A new survey from Payments Canada finds that 50% of Canadians are ready to get rid of all banknotes and coins and just go with the credit cards and for everything, for parking meters, for the, you know, buying the newspaper, whatever it is, you just whip out your card and you do it. Two-thirds of respondents said they are ready to say goodbye to personal checks. Gosh, I said goodbye to personal checks a long time ago. You don't pay for anything with a personal check anymore.
Once
do you?
In a while, and I'll tell you what the situation is. It's very rare. I will do the digital or the online or what have you. But I have a cousin whose daughter's graduating college this month, and I'll probably
you need
write
to give
a
gift. Yeah,
to give a gift.
Well, I do think that a cashless society is definitely in our future. I don't know how far off it is, but it's in our future for sure.
Yeah, I absolutely.
Sweden is really taking the lead on this. Apparently, 98% of Swedish payments are made through non-cash methods these days. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't even take cash on their public transportation. You can go there, and if you don't have, you can't swipe something, you can't ride.
Well, it probably cuts down on crime, I would think. You know, petty crime, somebody trying to pick your pocket, perhaps.
Yeah.
Unless they have to take your card. But then again, they'd probably have to know something else, some kind of code or something, so that you could use it. I don't know.
Now, there is a new kind of an alternative to cards, and that is your smartphone. Mm-hmm. You know, they have Apple Pay. They've got Samsung Pay. They've got some different kinds of things. Well, you just take your phone and you swipe it up by the cash register, and it automatically deducts the amount from your account. Apparently, even in Canada, though, this is still pretty new, only 13% have this service and are using it regularly. So
that's probably a good idea. But and I don't use a smartphone. I still have a flip phone, I hate to tell you. But I would do that, except my one question before I would do that would be, can anybody, if I give you my phone and say, you know, go to the store and get a bag of potato chips and pay for it with my card, and you can swipe my card, or my phone. Then if you can do that, then that means if I lose the phone, somebody can have a great old time and I'd have to straighten a lot of things out and maybe get stuck for bills?
No, you still have to put your password into the phone to open it up first. You know, okay. So as you're standing in the line, you go ahead and open it up with your password. So
couldn't your phone be open though, and somebody could lift it out of your pocket?
Oh, I think it times out. You know, your phone is timed to lock up after 30 seconds, and so you're supposed to be able to keep it locked all the time.
This only verifies that I do use a flip phone.
Yeah, I know. You need to learn. Yeah, I was going. Like, don't simple. You have a smartphone? Apparently, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I think when I get there, I will. My biggest problem, and I've said this before, is that because it's a more expensive piece of equipment, and it's larger, the size is different, and everything. I'm afraid I'm going to either drop it or lose it.
Listen,
that's what I'm afraid.
You're
of.
Not
I'm afraid
alone.
Of the Susan factor.
There's a whole new world of hipsters who are now returning to the flip phone. So you're not alone. It's some people like the simpler way. So that's not. Don't
and also feel bad. There's less all of the texting and all that stuff because everybody's bombarded, which goes back to the first thing we talked about losing things. There's too much information coming in.
Absolutely. Our next survey reveals the world's favorite car color. And I think I probably could have guessed this, but what do you think it is, Susan? Well, you know. You've looked at the
I know
survey.
What it is, and I had a white car.
You had a white car?
But let me tell you why I bought a white car.
Yeah.
If you wanted to know. I was going to buy a black one. The color I really wanted was red, and I'll tell you why I didn't buy red. But white is the favorite because the salesperson told me at the time, he said, black shows all the dust.
Well, so does white.
And no, he said white is the easiest to keep clean.
I don't think that's true at all.
I didn't think so either, but he said it is. And the other thing is, in the summer, black will absorb all the heat.
I've heard that.
And the white repels it.
Well, 37% of all cars on the road around the globe are white. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
According to the survey from Chosen Media, a white is the most popular car color of all. Mm-hmm. The second, black. 18% of all cars are black. And I like black because I have two black cars. And the reason is because I figure, listen, if you got to go someplace fancy and you got to go in the valet line, you got to look kind of nice. You can polish it up and it looks nice. But if you got to go pick the kids up at school or get some dirt from Home Depot, it's fine as well. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
And it doesn't call attention to itself. It's not a bright blue. It's not an orange. It's not some color that you're going to be sick of in a few years. It's just a car color. But then I'm a little dull. I have a tendency to wear black clothing as well all the time.
Yes,
for this very same reason. I don't want to stand out. I don't, you know, so maybe that
says
something about
me. But I also think black clothing and women will tell you this probably more than men, is that if you buy something and it's a lot of money and it's black, it looks great. And if you buy something and it's a cheaper item, a less expensive item, and that's what you can afford, but you buy it in black, it usually looks better.
There you go.
The fabric looks richer to me.
I think that's right. Mm-hmm. The third, you know what the third place color is?
What?
What would you have guessed?
Gray and silver?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I've got a silver car, but that's not why I bought it. I bought it because I was trying to make a deal at the end of the year, and that was the one on the lot. And if they ordered a different color, it would cost more. And if I took the one that was there, they gave me a better deal. So I took that.
So
then
was
I
it,
didn't care.
Yeah, so it was a second choice. It was an also ran for you. It was not
that's
really
right.
The color you would have selected.
You know the color I would have selected?
Red.
Yes. I always wanted a red car, and I really wanted a red convertible, but that's when I got the
one. Well, they've always said that, you know, red cars are the cars that attract the attention of the California Highway Patrol. So
yes, and a policeman told me that once.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who was a cop, he's now in heaven, but he said to me long ago, he said, don't buy a red car. They're the ones we ticket easily. And I thought it was because you looked, you know, kind of fast and racy and cool and all that, and you'd be the kind of person to speed when you could get away with it or not. But actually, I think it's because it stands out.
It stands out. All right, moving on. Our final survey of the week. A recent survey reveals more people ordering fast food for their dogs. Now, this is weird, but apparently it's true. Revelation Research did a little survey to find out, 1,500 people they asked, for their habits in the drive-through window at fast food restaurants. As it turns out, one in every six American households orders fast food for a dog, during at least some of their drive-through or takeout visits. 33% of the dog owners reported going through the drive-through with their canine buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And of those people who do go through the drive-in with the dog in the back seat, 80% would get a burger for the dog, too. 80% of those people.
You know what I think it is? And you don't hear this about cats. Well, of course, you're not taking cats out in the car for a drive. They're not interested.
No.
Trust me, they're not interested.
No, they're not.
But I think if a dog is sitting there looking at you, especially if you're going to eat it right away.
Right.
And then you're looking at those sad doggy eyes like, but you didn't get any for me. So guess what? I don't want to feel guilty. So instead of giving him a bite of mine, I get him his own.
Well, if you've ever gone through a drive-through window and you've got the sack of hot French fries and burgers that come through the window.
Oh, those fries are toast.
And it smells the whole car, right? The whole car.
Yes.
Can you imagine what a dog must be going through to smell the food and not be offered anything?
I would wonder, though, about the ingredients in fast food, which we've heard, you know, we should be careful of as adults. I mean, it's nice for a treat once in a while. And yes, it's delicious. Let's face it. But, you know, it's got the salt. It's got the sugar. It's got the fat.
You think it might give the dog a little digestive problem.
The dog is a smaller animal, you know. The dog is smaller than we are, and even a big dog. And I just wonder if they can process all that, if that's good for them. I'm going to guess if a veterinarian were in on this conversation, that vet would say, no,
don't feed your dog
fast
food. Exactly. Most vets would probably say, don't give your dog fast food. What do you give them? Also, what do you order? Do you get the Big Mac for them? Do you get them a regular plain burger with nothing on it? Do you give them the bun and the burger or just the meat itself? I'm not sure.
Well, I would assume you give them just the meat itself. But there's some dogs that will eat anything. And then, you know, later they've got a tummy ache or they're, you know.
According to the survey, men visited fast food outlets with their dogs twice as often than women. No surprise there.
Okay.
So it's, I suppose it's not surprising that men are more likely to throw a burger into the back seat.
Yeah, maybe. I just think it's something that probably bears a second look. And I think the idea of perhaps, I think they mentioned in this survey that they're looking to design dog safe offerings. So it might be the kind of thing where, can I get a doggy bag, literally?
All these fast food chains need to take note of this and create a dog meal for customers to have. So it's a healthy dog meal
That's
you can order along with your...
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Is when you have a doggy bag, put something that's good for the dog. Unless the dog smells yours and yours smells better, then maybe he's going to want yours too. I don't know. It probably depends on how hungry the dog is. Maybe you should feed the dog before you take him in the car.
That makes sense.
I'm not a dog owner. I don't know. I'm not sure.
That brings us to the end of another episode of Older and Wiser. Thank you, Susan Segura.
It was a pleasure.
You'll find the links to all these stories and lots more stuff that matters when you're 55 and older at olderandwiser.com. And we'll see you next time.